Radio Africana,
your non-stop entertainment radio.
Your voice and shout, come on.
Mm-hmm.
no no road. Every me more, now in they move me, they lead me, they go. On God, mind is made up. Of course, no going back. Non-stop, on two ports. If she gone, hold on me to root. I'm steady, revving, wanted throttle. Got eyes on the prize. Back and lie, me come to me. Snatching from his hand. If I just, you know, I'll be with you.
No, no. It won't make sense. So.
No, no.
Where am I going to?
No, no.
It's already too late.
No, no.
I've already come too far.
No, no.
It's already too late.
No, no.
We will burn the world.
We will burn the world.
We will spend the billions.
We will spend the billions.
We will spend for Jesus.
We will spend for Jesus.
We will shift the culture.
We will shift the culture.
We will heal the sick.
We will heal the sick.
We will raise the dead.
We will raise the dead.
Transform the nations.
Transform the nations.
See, we hear well done.
We will hear well done.
We will burn the world.
Why would I down when he always Cause I know he loves me.
I know he cares.
Whenever
I call, he always is my help.
When I'm in trouble,
he is my help.
Welcome to Starbright. We're on the air every Thursday, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Now, some of you must have thought, has this become like a music show? Because where is this lady? Well, we give God all the glory. We give God all the praise. I can hear an echo. Maybe it's just me being a bit disorientated by the whole scenario. You know, it was 1 minute raining, then we've got this like heat wave again. I'm not complaining about the heat wave. We give God all the glory for it. We need our vitamin D here. Some of you are in really, really hot weather and you might be really struggling. And we just want to ask God to come in at this time and to just to help, because there are some parts of the world that are really, really struggling with the weather. But we give God the glory in it all. We give God the praise. Father, my God, we just thank you. We praise you. We worship you. We adore you. There is none like thee, O Lord. Who can compare to thee? We thank you for the air that we breathe. We thank you that you woke us up this morning. We thank you, Father, oh my God, because you, O Lord, will leave the 99 and run after the one. We thank you that, Lord, our individual needs, Father, my God, you care about. You know the hairs on our head, and we are truly grateful. We're grateful for your everlasting love. We're grateful for your peace. We're grateful that you answer cries. We're grateful, Lord Jesus. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Just want to testify that God does answer the cries of his people. You know, as I've been sharing with quite a few of you that and on the program, that I'm actually on a project And I was getting a bit concerned about it because time is going and the project has a deadline. And I was just thinking, this is just really stressful. Why did I put myself in this stress? I know God asked me to do it. And God doesn't give us our capacity. He gives us beyond our capacity so that we know it's really Him. And I was just like getting a bit concerned, getting frustrated, getting just a lot of emotions. And I was endeavoring to center myself and focus on the Lord and pray and focus on the Lord and pray and focus on the Lord. And today I checked my emails, and you know, I'd sent, because it's such a unique project, the Lord directed me to someone to mentor, and I sent them all the details of what the next step is. And they sent me a long email that I had not noticed, saying we need to do this, we need to do that, we need to do this, we need to meet next week, we need to. And I just thought, Lord, you hear and understand the cries of your people, but sometimes we miss your intervention because we're too busy stressed about the issue, the problem, everything, that we miss his still small voice. And someone else came, the worship leader came and was just helping as well. And it was just like, Lord, you just put things together. And I said, God, I thank you. I need to learn to get less stressed and just listen out. But we're on all in a school. There are things that we know, but sometimes to put it into practice when we're in the middle of it, it's really, really hard. So I encourage you to get a mentor, to get that support, spiritual support, physical support, that support. Now, it came up, one of the questions came up in the church I go to about a mentor, and people were giving a little direction. So one of the things that I want to share about the a mentor, you need to have someone that's been that further down the journey than you are. Many times we get mentors that are our peers, and we can have peer support. Peer support is not a mentor. Mentor is someone that's further gone down that journey, that path, or gone further down the line than you are. We need peer support, but we need someone that has journeyed, and we need to ask the Lord to help us to direct us to the person that is going to mentor us. Because a mentor doesn't only give you the support. God places within them what you need. So sometimes when we look on the surface of it all, it looks like, what could they have? But at the moment that they start uttering and speaking, God will place things in their mouth to say to you that will just hit the mark. And I say this with certain authorities, as I was saying to you today, that the Lord just caused my mentor to write emails, and it was what I needed. Everything was because they have journeyed that journey. And supply another, the worship leader came, and it was timely. Now, your mentor, when you reach out to them, will be timely, and it's going to cost you. Because sometimes we want someone to meet us where we're at, but they don't want to pay the price. It's going to cost you your time. Sometimes you're going to be the one having to chase. It's because it's what you need. Now, my mentor didn't ask for the information, but because this was the project is coming to a pivotal point, every information I had, I sent to the mentor, and I said, right. And this person has actually made a commitment to actually mentor me for 2 years through this. Because they said, even after this point, you're still going to need that support. Now, you know, some people will think mentorship is for a short time. It is for a season, for a reason, but sometimes for a lifetime. Now, this one is going to be a season for a reason, but it may extend longer. Only the Lord knows. So I encourage everyone to find that person and ask the Lord. It's only the Lord that can actually help you find the right person, because sometimes we use head knowledge instead of heart knowledge, and sometimes we allow other people to influence who you know, the relevance of the person God has sent. And there's some people that it's almost like they'll hold on tight, and there's nothing. They don't care what anyone is going to say. They're going to hold on tight. And that is what we need to be with the Lord, but with the one that God has sent us to be our mentor. Don't allow even what you feel, think, or to let go of them, because you don't know how much they're going to impact until you go on to the journey. You know, as you're journeying. So I want to encourage everyone that is considering if mentorship is a good idea, etc., etc. It is an excellent idea. I highly recommend it. I'd be very hypocritical if I said no, because I have one myself. And this person is going to is someone I've known for a while, and it's someone I prayed and said, God, I need someone. And the Lord placed this person on my heart and mind. And it was, I know the person for a long time, but I didn't know them that like intimately well to say, right, they're going to do anything for me. And I just asked them, and I said, I just want to ask, I'm doing this and that, and would you be willing to help me? And I was thinking they'll say, okay, till the project comes to an end. But they even said, oh, you need this, you need that. And even went up and started, they were so proactive, started sending some things. And the Lord had placed, even when I felt like, wow, a bit overwhelmed with, they would always get in contact at the right time. And that's why you need to really pray, but you need to respond to the person as well, because they're human beings too. If they send something and you just like, you're not going to reap, because they're human beings too, so they have their feelings and emotions, and we just need to respond appropriately as well, you know. It's not what I'm meant to say, but it's something that's on my heart, because I'm seeing the fruit of it, etc., etc. Now, if you're on a journey to have a child, find someone to stand alongside with you, especially if it's been taken a while. If you're on a journey to have get married, find someone to stand alongside with you. If you're on a journey and it's really difficult and you feel really like lost, find someone to stand alongside. And one of the things that we need to do when God has sent someone is actually recognize their value. Now, I have said this before and I'll say it again. Sometimes God sends someone to us and we treat them like a friend or a mate. I'll say a mate, you know, or a colleague. We don't see that God has sent them to pour into us for this season, for a reason, or for a lifetime. We don't see their value and their worth. So we just take their things casually, but we need to treasure what they're saying, because God, we need to look at it instead of seeing them, seeing that God is using them as a vessel to speak to you. So when we look at it that way, we're going to treasure it and value it more than if we just treated it like it's just, you know, someone just speaking to us casually. Just look at it as an encounter with Jesus. You know, Jesus is coming to your house for tea. You're not just going to say, I'm coming and go and have a shower, are we? We're going to sit down. We're going to maybe get a pen and paper, or we're going to record, make notes. We're going to be attentive in our listening. So this is what we've got to do and bear in mind. And even when something is said that seems overwhelming or you're not there yet, I want to encourage you that still take it, because it's speaking of where you're going to. You might think you're not capable, but remember God, he promised your teachers will not be far from you. That was his promise. And so I want you to think of it as, well, they're speaking of something that is going to be, though I do not feel I am now, but I'm going to have a teacher that's going to help me get there. Now, one of the greatest teachers of all time, one of the greatest, is the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit can minister to us through people, but minister to us directly. So, you remember, it says in the word about that still small voice. And I want to find that passage. Just give me a moment. As the saying goes, talk amongst yourself. Because that... I don't want to say that... that email was a still small voice. It was easily missed. Easily, I didn't get a notification, I didn't get anything, but it was so timely. It was like a wow. I just knew it was Jesus. I just knew. And the still small voice, you know, they say the noise is deafening, the silence is deafening, but you know, we can be in a place and there's so much commotion, but you hear. They say that even amongst talking, a mother will hear and recognize their own child crying. We need to fine-tune our ears to hear the Lord. So it says to in 1 Kings 19, and I'm going to read from where am I reading from? From 10. Oh, just a bit before 9. It says, there he came to a cave where he spent the night. But the Lord said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Elijah replied, I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty. Now, the Lord is asking him, and I'm not sure why he answered, I've zealously served the Lord God Almighty. But, you know, he's stating his case. But you know what? Many times we do that. Because we're trying to rationalize things as well, if we're honest. But the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I alone am left, and now they're trying to kill me too. Go out and stand before me on the mountain. The Lord told him, and as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And it said, and the voice said, "What are you doing here?" So asked again. He replied again, "I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I alone am left, and now they are trying to kill me." Then the Lord told him, "Go back the way you came and travel to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive there, anoint Hazael to be king of Aram." So when you know from that place of hiding, from that place of thinking, here I am serving the Lord and people are trying to kill me, you know, he explained to the Lord, and the Lord told him to go out and stand before me on the mountain. Now, he was in a cave, so to come out, that he could have been on the side, maybe, of the mountainside, in the part of the mountain, you know, but I believe he'll have felt the mighty windstorm. He'll have felt the, you know, the blast, it was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose. He saw all these things, and each one, the Lord was not there. The Lord was not there. So there can be a lot of things happening, but the Lord is not in it. And he said that stillness, in that stillness, he heard the Lord. In that stillness, he heard the Lord. And he says, Elijah knew that the sound of a gentle whisper was God's voice. You know, he realized that God doesn't reveal himself only in powerful, miraculous ways. So it's not only in the big things, but that little things. And those little things do are a source of great encouragement. So I want to encourage you, those of you that are looking at yourself and thinking, am I able? Can I do this? Is it possible? What's going on? To encourage you that God is able to take you to the next place. Now, what is so interesting, after all is said and done, he said, he told him to go back the way he came. So it's like, rewind. You know, you've gone, it's almost like saying you've gone slightly off track, and I want you to go back so you're on track. And then he told him to go and anoint someone to be king. Now, it doesn't say here that he told him off and said, but through you I did this, through you I did that, what else do you need to do? He didn't. He just told him to go back the way you came and do this. Now, many times we get overwhelmed by something, but the Lord doesn't want us to live in that fear, because being overwhelmed is a fear. He wants us to go back to the place where we feel that, feel his strength, feel his encouragement, feel encouraged and empowered by him, and then from that place move on. So I really want you to find the right person that's going to help you on this journey. Now, going to what I wanted us to go through today, it's Romans 8:18-27. And it says, the future glory. Yet, Romans 8:18-27. Yet, what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will give us later. For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Against its will, everything on earth was subjected to God's curse. All creation anticipates the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. Right, you just put a mark where I was reading before. Okay. For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And even we Christians, although we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory, also groan to be released from pains and suffering. We too wait anxiously for that day when God will give us our full rights as his children, including the new bodies he has promised us. Now, 24. Now that we are saved, we eagerly look forward to this freedom. For if you already have something, you don't need to hope for it. But if we look forward to something we don't have yet, we must wait patiently and confidently. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our distress, for we don't know what we should pray for, nor how we should pray, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. Hallelujah. I'm going to read a different translation because this needs to be read in a different translation. Okay, I'm going to read the Passion. Okay. I am convinced that any suffering we endure is less than nothing compared to the magnitude of glory that is about to be unveiled within us. Wow. Wow. The entire universe is standing on tiptoe, yearning to see the unveiling of God's glorious sons and daughters. For against its will, the universe itself has had to endure the empty futility resulting from the consequence of human sin. But now, with eager expectation, all creation longs for freedom from its slavery to decay, to experience with us the wonderful freedom coming to God's children. To this day, excuse me, we are aware of the universal agony and groaning of creation as if it were in the contractions of labor for childbirth. And it's not just creation. We who have already experienced the first fruits of the Spirit also inwardly groan as we passionately long to experience our full status as God's sons and daughters, including our physical bodies being transformed. For this is the hope of our salvation. But hope means that we must trust and wait for what is still unseen. For why would we need to hope for something we already have? So because our hope is set on what is yet to be seen, we patiently keep on waiting for its fulfillment. 26. And in a similar way, the Holy Spirit takes hold of us in our human frailty to empower us in our weakness. For example, at times we don't even know how to pray or know the best things to ask for, but the Holy Spirit rises up within us to intercede on our behalf, pleading to God with emotional sighs too deep for words. God the searcher of our hearts knows fully our longings, yet he also understands the desires of the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit passionately pleads before God for us, his holy ones, in perfect harmony with God's plan and our destiny. So all this, now this is entitled A Glorious Destiny. And I want us to, the other one said the future glory, but it's talking about things. And remember previously I was just saying about, even if your mentor says something, take it from God, and it's just speaking of what is to come. Even though it might seem, you look at yourself and you think, oh, I'm not able, but always know it's speaking of that which is to come. What have you heard? What has come your way that you think right now you're not able? Don't discard it, because all these things are pieces of a puzzle that the Lord is putting together. Now, it says, I'm convinced that any suffering we endure is less than nothing compared to the magnitude of glory that is about to be unveiled within us. So what God is doing, that which we're suffering, that which we're going through, and we think, do I deserve it? Remember, Elijah was saying, I am a prophet, you know, I'm the only one. They've killed all the prophets and kings. And, you know, he was lamenting, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant. They've done all these bad things. They've done all these things, and they've killed it. And I'm the only one alive, and they want to kill me too. And we can actually, you know, be quite justified in what we're saying. We don't have the help. We don't have the support. All these things. But this passage is letting us know that the suffering, this thing, is nothing compared to what is about, the magnitude, the greatness of what is going to be come later, for the future glory, for that which is going to be revealed and unveiled within us. It's you know, and the other passage said, when God will reveal who his children really are, the fullness of what we are. You're the next stage of where he's taking us. So even though we're suffering, even though it seems like what is going on, the next stage, when you get to that next stage and you look back, you say, God, I can't even imagine how I got through to get to where you've taken me to. We'll be there saying, Lord, wow. And even we, you know, you that are going through, you'll be there thinking, God, this to everyone else seemed impossible. This seemed like it was never going to happen. This looked like, how can someone like me this happen to? This looked like, how can they? But God is saying, this passage is saying that what we're going through, and I'm not diminishing what you're going through, because, you know, I said I'm on a project, and sometimes I question myself on, wow, this is a lot. But compared to the magnitude of the glory that is about to be unveiled within us, the suffering is nothing. Can you imagine the testimony when you get to the other side of what you're going to say that God has done? And I want you to picture the testimony. I want you to picture it, because, and really get it in your mind, that God is birthing a testimony, and it does talk about like a child in, you know, like childbirth and child pains, birthing something, you know, those that have given birth, it's not easy to give birth. That which is new, that period, that pushing, that travailing, that getting to that, it's not easy. You might be looking for a job and you're there thinking, apply to all the things to apply. What? Keep on. Look to Jesus. He's creating that right job for you. You might be thinking, I want to go and do this course. I'm looking. I can't see the money for it. Ask the Lord. If the Lord is sending you, He's going to make a way. It might be whatever that you have in mind. You know, ask the Lord. When He's still small voice ministers you, go with it and do. You know, go and do. Now, in verse 19, it says the entire universe is standing on tiptoe. Now, I remember as a little, we used to try and stand on tiptoe to see something, to peer over something, that nervous anticipation that, wow, what is coming? You know, stretching forward. So, it's talking about the... Excuse me. The anticipation of that. You know, we're told that we're surrounded by a cloud of witness. And I can imagine them all leaning forward. Come on, cheering. Us on. Come on, you can do this. You can do it. Just keep pressing forward. Just keep pressing forward. Just keep pressing forward. And the scriptures are there to remind us of those that God has taken over the line to the victory. Look at it. David, he was anointed. He wasn't even invited. The great prophet was coming. He wasn't even invited. Let's be real. He wasn't invited. The prophet was there. He wasn't invited. Then the prophet said, wait, is this all your sons? Then his father, you know, sent for him. And then he didn't have the appearance. He didn't have the look. He's like, oh, this one. But God said yes. So to others, might have said, this one. Referring to yourself, you. You are a good candidate for the Lord to reveal His glory. And the, you know, you know, sometimes we've, be truthful. Have you ever said, let my testimony be the biggest? Well, you know, what you have to go through for your testimony to the biggest. Well, there you go. I don't want to say, but you know, it's a lot. It's a lot. So we just... And the whole earth is, it says the universe is standing on its tiptoes, yearning. So not even the earth, the universe, wow. Yearning to see the unveiling of God's glorious sons and daughters. So you and me, is glory to be revealed. For against its will, the universe itself has had to endure the empty futility resulting from the consequence of sin, human sin. So everything that, you know, like bad decisions. So even the, you know, the consequence from Adam and Eve right down to even our present day, the consequence of sin, the earth, you know, has had to endure. And it says the empty futility. That, and if we think of it, futility, something that's not going to be fruitful. Now let me just read in the other translation. He says, against its will, everything on earth was subjected to God's curse. Against its will. I do like this translation. For against its will, the universe itself. So not only the universe itself has had to endure the empty futility resulting from the consequence of human sin. God to help us. God to really help us. But now, with eager expectation, all creation longs for for freedom from its slavery to decay, and to experience with us the wonderful freedom coming to God's children. So the slavery to decay, so that, you know, it says all creation anticipates the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. So creation longs for that day when it will all line up with the Lord. It will all like everything, you know, when everybody is united and all singing from the same hymn sheet, there is something that can come. You know, there's a blessing in that unity. You see, unity commands a blessing. So when the universe, when creation is united with all that's happening at the moment, you know, let's be real, there's not that unification. Even when we look at the news, you know, I said to someone, I don't really like looking at the news because it can be really like, you know, as the producer said, sad. It really is sad what we hear. And I always keep thinking of my grandfather. If I was to tell him this was going to, he would have said never. He would have said, I'm talking foolishness. But here I am living in a time and season that there's wars and rumors of war. In fact, we've gone past the rumors of wars. There's wars and wars and this and that happening. And we need the Lord to help. And it says that the universe itself is eagerly waiting, longs for the freedom of slavery, from its slavery to decay, to experience a wonderful freedom coming to God's children. So even the world is longing for that freedom from decay, things going wrong, things rotting, things decaying, going bad, rotten, to something that is going to be wonderful and life-changing commitment. And I want us to really grab hold of that. And this is what we want to pray, that Lord will help us to endure through everything to get to the fullness. And I want you to really, really focus your mind on that, that regardless of what is happening, there's some things that you're going to have to sacrifice. You doing this, you were doing that, but you've got to fix your mind on the end goal, what is happening. And then just run with that. Now, we have a Starbright seminar on the 26th of July. Details will be on the website. Contact is the usual venue. Come and join us. It's 10 to 1 o'clock. Come and join us and be blessed. We're going to have 3 speakers on the day. So come and be blessed. And we are at that stage. We need to commit to the journey. Okay? Until next week, have a blessed and glorious week. And bye for now.
You are good. You are good.
How many of you are grateful today? Lift up your hands. Would you join me singing? Come on.
Sia bonga, sia bonga. Sia bonga, sia bonga.
Anybody wanna join me to say thank you? Come on.
Sia bonga, sia bonga. Sia bonga, sia bonga.
Come on.
Sia bonga.
Wave your hands like this.
Sia bonga.